spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light. This program comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today by Morton Wishengrad is entitled Rachel and features Mitzi Gould as Rachel and Alexander Scourby as Uri.
Building a road in the desert from Degania north to the Sea of Galilee. I think it was 1927 or 1928, I'm not sure. But memory is sentimental, and I remember that it was a Palestinian day when the sky seemed the color of lemon and autumn was blowing with a foretaste of winter. I remember that the road builders were nearly through with the day's work. Old men and young boys, they were building a road in the desert. And girls in their teens helping, and many women. And Rachel also. Suppose you call me Uri. That is what Rachel called me. Her eyes were deep set. Perhaps her mouth was too wide, her lips a bit too full. I don't really know. She was Rachel. I'm trying not to be sentimental. And I should have forgotten it all, but it doesn't stay forgotten. And so I'd better tell you about it. I remember as clearly as though it was something that happened only this morning or yesterday. The road builders had put down their tools. They went away. But Rachel and I stood on the unfinished road. The day was darkening and mute with space. And we were alone.
Uri.
Listening?
Your hands blistered?
Not anymore.
Men are lucky. I've tried soaking my hands in brine. They never seem to get calloused.
I can understand that.
Why did you stay, Uri?
Why do you think?
Oh. Know something, Uri?
No.
While we were working on the road, it suddenly came to me.
Did it?
Yes. I thought that everywhere in Palestine, everywhere you set your foot down, you stand in another man's footprint.
That's very nice. But you're shivering. Put my jacket on.
It's frightening somehow. Scratch away the cover of earth and what do you find? Some other man's heart. Some other man's poetry. Some other man's music. Or just suppose, maybe in this place Amos or Isaiah once stood. Right here.
Mm-hmm. You think Amos or Isaiah would mind if I kissed you?
No.
That's good. Well, the prophet Isaiah.
Uri, the prophet Amos is waiting. What's wrong, Uri? What is it?
Rachel, your lips are cold.
It doesn't matter. Your lips are warm.
Rachel, you're tired, aren't you?
It's nothing. The prophet Amos is waiting. He doesn't like to be kept waiting. The prophet thanks you. Uri, you're right. I am cold. Please take me to my house.
She was shivering. Only a moment before, her eyes had glistened, her cheeks bright with color. Only a moment before. And now her eyes were dull. And in the sudden pallor of her face, I could see a languor and a weariness which were like a prophecy. I think I knew even then it was more than the weariness of the instant. There are some beginnings that can be measured in time, and this was such a beginning. We went back to the colony, but I did not take Rahel to her house. I borrowed an old car and we drove to Kinneret, where there was a doctor.
Are you frightened of me, Rahel?
Why?
Your pulse.
I'm not frightened, Doctor. At least, not frightened of you. Do I have much temperature?
Enough. Rahel, you should be in bed.
Should I?
You've gotten thinner since the last time I saw you.
I've been working on the road.
And you're tired, aren't you?
Exhausted.
A good deal of the time?
Yes, Doctor.
Wipe the perspiration from your face.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Rachel, you will tell me if I am wrong, but often at night, especially towards dawn, you awaken covered with sweat, cold sweat.
No. You're not wrong, Doctor.
And every afternoon, you're feverish, aren't you, Rachel?
Doctor, Uri and I are to be married.
Every afternoon, you're feverish, aren't you, Rachel?
Yes.
I want you to cough. Go ahead, Rachel. Cough. Pain?
Sometimes.
Now?
Yes. Doctor, Uri and I are to be married.
Where was the pain?
Here, mostly.
Rachel, I want you to take this sputum bottle. It isn't pleasant, but use it. After 3 days, bring it back to me.
All right, Doctor. You're sure, aren't you?
I'm not sure of anything without X-ray equipment.
You are sure, aren't you?
Rachel, you and Uri.
No?
No, Rachel. I'm stopping here.
Uri, please go on.
Rahel, why didn't you kiss me?
I love you, Uri. That's enough, isn't it?
Rahel, when you came out of the doctor's office, you refused to kiss me.
Uri, you and I, we don't have to demonstrate our love.
Rahel, I want an answer.
Sometimes I see careless lovers, lips kissing, hearts apart. Uri, we're not like that.
Stop it, Rahel. What did the doctor say?
He gave me a little blue bottle. Our wedding present, Uri.
For heaven's sake, stop dramatizing yourself. What did he say, Rahel?
He didn't say. But I know. It's tuberculosis.
Thank you.
little blue bottle in Degania, the doctor's microscope in Kinneret, an X-ray machine in Tel Aviv. All impersonal things. And a few billion tubercle bacilli impersonally devouring two human beings. It has happened before. Only this time it was happening to her. Back in Degania, old men, boys, young girls in their teens, and women. They were building a road in the desert. But not Rachel.
Well?
Well?
I think at this point I'm supposed to tell you that I never really loved you. According to, is it Camille? I send you away. Then I cry into my pillow.
Pretty objective, aren't you?
Ori, you've missed your cue. You get down on your knees now. You're supposed to insist that I marry you at once.
By hell, don't.
Or would you like to try the biblical approach? And Jacob said to Laban, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter.
I could, you know. I'd wait.
Thanks. It would be better if you didn't.
Stop pretending.
You're wrong, Ori. I want you to leave me. Just the way it's done in the stories that imitate other stories.
Suppose we try to behave intelligently and figure this thing out.
Nothing to figure, Ori.
Well, there's a chance, isn't there?
You heard the doctor.
He could be wrong.
Let's suppose he's right.
Well?
Well, is you, is me, is Palestine. I'm a farm worker. You're a farm worker. You can plow a field, build a road, plant a tree. I can't. I'm not good for anything now.
That's not true.
You're quite right. When I die, I shall belong to the land and be a blade of grass or a fertile field or a multitude of standing grain. I think that's rather poetic.
Stop pitying yourself.
You're right. Ori, you're always right. I think I could grow to hate that in you. I wish I could find the words I want to say. I've got them all arranged in my head. Then you look at me. And it's spoiled. I can't say it.
I'll give you paper and pencil. You'll write it down.
I might, you know. I could be quite maudlin on paper.
Could you?
Ori, I love you.
Rachel, say my words, too.
Your words. Ori, your words are in the Book of Psalms. I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother.
The Sabbath came, and she lacked the strength to sit up and light the candle. And so I said the prayer for her. And the lights of the candles which I lit for her were pale as her face. Pale like the last glimmer of the graying twilight of autumn. Each Sabbath it was so. And between the Sabbaths, she began to write things down on paper. She was a woman of Palestine. She was an agricultural worker. But these are the things Rachel began to write down.
I haven't sown. I haven't planted. I haven't prayed for rain. Yet suddenly my fields are grown with wheat. Is it some aftergrowth of a harvest long ago, a seed I planted and then forgot? Is it the wheat of happiness which is brought to me in a day of poverty?
Yes.
That's all so far. Ori, I'm doing a dangerous thing.
Hmm?
I'm living on memory.
There's no danger in that.
I wonder. Dreams are my only reality. and reality slips from me and becomes elusive. I find myself doubting yesterday because it has been dissolved by the hours. I wonder if you know what I mean.
I'm not sure I do.
I've made it into a poem. Ori, even if it's very bad, don't tell me.
I'm listening, Rahel.
There you lie. Perhaps. Perhaps these things have never been at all. Perhaps I never rose at break of day to labor in the garden. Perhaps I never stood upon the loaded cart gathering in the hay. Perhaps I never made my body whole in the blue and quiet gleam of my Kinnereth. O Kinnereth of my soul, were you once true? Or have I dreamed a dream?
She wrote songs now. Songs for the land of Eretz Yisrael that told of herself. Of quiet pain that was tinged with sadness and yet also tinged with a strange sweetness. And in them were no answers, only the sensations of morning and evening, storm and calm, the wound and the healing. And no one trampled upon her songs, and no one smiled or laughed or misunderstood. They were hardly songs, a gentle shout of joy when the light was shining, and when the light was dim, merely a small cry. She was refined by pain, and they respected her pain and respected her. One day, when her strength was diminishing, we placed a piano outside her room. And it was her song that was sung. Perhaps these things have never been at all. I stood by her side. I saw her eyes. And I could not say whether their look held more of exaltation than of pain. There is a song that flows from the wound of the heart when it loves. And this was in her eyes. There is eternity in each moment. And this for her was an eternity of moment and a ladder. You hear an echo on the mountains. Then there are no mountains, but the echo remains. Happy is the heart that remembers the echo. There was such goodness for her in that. But even that was not permitted to last. Even an echo exhausts itself and diminishes until it is not even a memory.
Uri, she'll have to be moved.
Where, Doctor?
I've reserved a bed for her in the hospital at Tel Aviv.
She may not be strong enough to go. Can't we wait?
I doubt that she'll be stronger. It should have been done months ago. Shall I tell her?
No. I'll do it. When do you want her to leave?
Today.
All right. We'll be ready when you are, Doctor.
Hold me very tight. Don't let me fall.
You won't fall, Rahel.
I feel like a baby in your arms. That's the way it should be. Now, turn me around. I want to see the bed, pictures on the wall, books on the shelves. It all appears so different. So little.
That's because I'm holding you so high.
Ori, I can see through the window. The winter is past. Why didn't someone tell me?
The rains are almost over.
For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. Finish it for me, Ori.
The time of singing has come. and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines in blossom give forth their fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.
My beloved is mine, and I am his, until the day breathe and the shadows flee away. That's a very nice way to leave. I'm ready, Ori. Hold me tight and don't let me fall.
I think that children and poets should never be in hospitals. Rooms that are starched and sterile, impersonal as a test tube, they are not for children and not for poets. They were kind to her, but under the white coverlet, her face seemed to shrink even as her eyes seemed to grow wide with wonder. The thread of her life was decaying, and the only thing that held her to us now was that in Eretz Yisrael they were putting tunes to her poems. And subdued, self-conscious delegations of farm workers would come to her room in the hospital and awkwardly blow a note on a pitch pipe and sing her poems. Say your words right here.
I haven't sung to you, my land. I haven't adorned your name with deeds of heroism or spoils of battle. Only a tree have my hands planted by the shores of the Jordan, and my feet have traced a path through lonely fields.
Rachel, the entire colony of Kinnereth thanks you for your poem. These flowers, you know that... Well, I'm supposed to make a speech. Here, take them.
Thank you, Joshua. Uri, I'm happy.
The delegation seemed to come every week, singing a song, leaving a melody as a gift. It was such a small thing, but she was satisfied. She seemed to grow stronger. There was a flush in her cheeks and her eyes were bright. It was in April when she said to me...
Uri?
Yes?
Listen.
There isn't anything I have.
I heard the doctor's footsteps in the corridor. It's a good sound. Sometimes at night when I can't sleep, I hear the doctor's step. It's like a word of comfort. People who aren't sick can't ever know the wonder of such a moment.
Try to sleep.
Uri, I've never told you.
Don't talk.
I might forget. Hold my hand. Tight, very tight. Uri, every night he comes.
The doctor?
No. Every night he comes. You know who? The messenger who brings tidings. He sits on my bed, right where you are. He thinks I can't see him, but I can. I see him distinctly. I'll tell you a secret. He's without flesh. I see the empty sockets in his skull. He sits on my bed, and he waits, and he doesn't speak. And you know something? When he comes, the bridge is broken. The old bridge which the hands of time have hung between yesterday and tomorrow. And he laughs. And when he laughs, I know that it is my last song.
Mahela, I don't want you to talk like that anymore.
You think I'm sorry. It's been good. I've been in Palestine. I've been a normal woman. I will bring you to the land, the Bible says. But I am in the land. I don't even have to write about it. Ori, the far away is near, and the near is far away.
Try to rest. Please be good.
I talk too much, don't I?
That's right. No more talking.
Uri.
No talking.
Just one thing.
What is it now?
I haven't lost a thing. I haven't lost a single thing. Because all the things I've lost are mine forever.
April 16, 1931. She died in a hospital at Tel Aviv. In the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, they sing her songs. And perhaps from beyond, she sends blessings. She is a memory, and only the memory remains. But that is a thing nothing and no one can hurt. At the side of any road, at the decline of any day, the memories gather round and go with me to make a covenant. And then I know what she knows. Only what you have lost is yours forever.
Eternal Light is written by Morton Wishenbrad. The music was composed by Morris Mimorski and conducted by Milton Catons. Rahel was played by Mitzi Gould, and Alexander Scourby was Uri. Cantor Robert H. Siegel was the soloist. The entire production is under the direction of Frank Papp. Background material for today's script was supplied by Reuben Wallenrod's Main Currents in Palestinian Literature, to be published shortly by Berman's Bookhouse. If you'd like a free copy of today's script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. This program is a weekly presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and comes to you under the sponsorship of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.